Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd imagine that in a farming community like ours, today's epistle reading evokes some nostalgic images and emotions. After all, many of our members are farmers or at least grew up on a farm, and almost everyone lives around farm life. Just about everyone probably knows how much labor goes into farming. After all, most of you, that's what you do. You have to first prepare the soil, which in many cases involves tilling and fertilizing and all of that. Then you plant the seed and then you tend it for weeks, sometimes months, before you even see the first sprouts. And then you have to continue watering and weeding and keeping the pests away for even longer before the crop is finally ready to be harvested. All told, this process from preparation to harvest takes about an entire year, and when it is finished, it is just about time to start over. In many cases, and this is what we see in our epistle reading, this is what outreach is like. It can take a long time of preparing the soil before people are ever ready to hear the gospel message. And then, even when that seed has been planted, it can take an even longer time of watering and nurturing before growth ever appears visible. This was Paul's experience in Corinth. Now, Paul, we see from Acts, was the first one to really plant the seed of the gospel in Corinth. Paul came to Corinth from Athens and stayed with a fellow tent maker named Aquila and his wife Priscilla. Paul stayed with them and worked with them and preached first by preaching to the Jews, his own people, in the synagogues. But then eventually, when that proved unfruitful and the Jewish people cast him out, he finally went next to the Gentiles, the native Corinthian Greeks. And so Paul spent 18 long months preaching and exhorting people in Corinth, first the Jews and the Greeks, then everyone together. But evidently when he had left, there were relatively few believers. He mentions in 1 Corinthians that he only baptized a handful of new believers while he was there. And so Paul spent all this time and effort, and he saw very little in the way of reward. And a lot of times, that is what our ministry feels like. You're working and working and working, and nothing really seems to happen. You tell someone about Jesus for weeks and months, but they won't come with you to church. They won't come to you with their problems. You model a positive Christian life for years and don't notice anything, any change, or anything in the other person's attitude towards God. Months and months and months, years of effort, and you don't see anything. But when this is the case, perhaps it simply means that you are merely planting that seed of faith, preparing the ground and planting the seed in them, and it will fall on someone else to water that seed, to nurture that seed, and eventually to reap a reward. We see this in Corinth as well, that after Paul left for Syria, it was a new preacher who came to Corinth and continued by building on and nurturing what Paul had started. Apollos was an enthusiastic and eloquent, if untrained, Jewish convert to Christianity who came into Paul's circle in a way. While Apollos was in Ephesus, Paul's friends Aquila and Priscilla took him under their wing and taught him the faith. And so eventually Apollos becomes a brilliant preacher, and at Corinth he helps to strengthen and encourage the believers there. And so it is under him and his tending and nurture, well after Paul had moved on from Corinth, it is while Apollos is there in Corinth that the church really begins to flourish and grow, that the fruits really start to be born. Apollos' service in Corinth was to nurture and water the faith, which had already been planted by Paul. Paul had already come through and done the work of planting the faith in people's hearts, but that faith needed more. The seed of faith needed to be fertilized. It needed to be watered. Sometimes the weeds needed to be pulled back to give the seed the space to grow. And ultimately, it needed time. Apollos was not the one who planted the seed in most cases. He was merely building on the work that Paul had already done. And sometimes for us, our work is like that of Apollos. Someone has come to the faith or has heard the gospel already, but needs somewhere for that faith to be nurtured, and that nurturing happens in within our congregation. Perhaps a Christian friend brought a neighbor to the point of asking about Jesus, but left, and the neighbor instead asks you. The neighbor planted the seed, you water the seed. We have had many families come to know the love of Jesus through the work of our congregation, but not all of them stick around long enough for that seed to germinate, or after it does, they move away shortly after it does. They move away, and it is up to God to determine how that seed will be nurtured where they now live. Sometimes it is up to us to nurture. Sometimes God uses us to plant, and the nurturing happens elsewhere. But really, the growth of that faith seed is not in our hands. We do not cause it to grow. It is ultimately up to God to cause the growth. So I'd like to see a show of hands from all the farmers in the room. How many of you can, by your own efforts, actually cause a seed to grow? There's nothing you can do to actually cause growth. There are plenty of things you can do to help it grow, by your own efforts, whether it's by weeding, fertilizing, watering, actually putting the seed in the ground. All of those things help it to grow, but if the seed is a dud and it doesn't grow, there's nothing you can do. There is nothing that you can do but plant another one. You don't cause growth, and you can't force a seed of faith to grow either. God is the one who causes the seed to grow, and God is the one who causes the faith to grow. In Colossians 2, Paul writes that we are rooted and built up in him, in Jesus, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. We are rooted in the faith. It is God who causes the growth. Or then later in Colossians, Christ is the head from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. God causes the growth. It's not us, it is God. In Psalm 127, the psalmist writes, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain." And we could add, unless God causes the growth, it doesn't happen. If there is growth, praise God. He makes it happen. But if there is no growth, we pray to God still that because he is the one who causes all growth. God is the one who causes the seed of faith to grow. Our congregation certainly is planting and watering this seed of faith. Our various activities with the youth of McFarland are geared to prepare the soil, to plant the seed, to nurture its growth, trusting in God that he will cause it to grow. Our newly formed Children and Youth Ministry Committee is in the process of rethinking our methods for reaching out to children with Jesus' love. Our Strategic Plan Committee is looking at the ways that the whole church plants the seed and nurtures this. And so pray for the outreach of Trinity. Pray for all of these various outreach activities. Pray that God would grant growth to the seeds that we plant. But remember, God is the one who causes it to grow. In Mark 4, Jesus says, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed in the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. It is not us who cause the growth, it is God." And that is a huge comfort for us, looking at our ministry, looking at what we do, that God is the one who will cause it to grow. There's a story about a missionary that really helps to shed light on how God uses us in his ministry and how God is the one who causes the faith to grow. There's a story about a missionary. From our perspective, he was an absolute, utter failure. After several, many, many years of learning and becoming a pastor, and then learning the Korean language, he died after only 3 months in Korea. He did not bring a single new believer to the faith. He was murdered by soldiers when his boat ran aground. His last act was to hold out his Korean language Bible to the men who were about to kill him. However, that missionary was no failure from God's perspective. His purpose was simply to plant that seed, the Bible. The seed that was planted by that act of giving his Bible to his murderers bore fruit. That Bible was taken apart and used to wallpaper a house along the coast in sight of where the martyr was killed. These Bible pages were preserved and used by God to bring many to the faith. Many more than that missionary himself perhaps would have brought to the faith had he lived. God used that missionary to plant the seed. He used his word to water that seed. And he himself provided the growth for that seed. And he himself provides the growth for the seeds that we plant. They may not grow where we can see them. They may not grow here on our schedule. But these seeds will sprout and they will grow and they will bear fruit in God's plan. All we can do, all we are called to do, is to plant seeds and nurture seeds, and pray to the Lord of harvest to grant growth to the seeds that we plant. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord unto life everlasting. Amen.